Chapter 19. Mystery. Like my other senses, touch is overly sensitive for me. I usually sleep atop the bedding, because the rough sheets in Tibet's brook feel like sandpaper scraping my skin. The sheets in Baron Cutter's manse are fine silk, the mattress feathered, and I feel like I'm lying on a cloud. But I can't sleep. All I can think about is Selin. I toss and turn, wondering if she'd wanted me to lean in, to let go, to admit to her, to myself, what I wanted. Her scent confused me. It always does. A mix of desire and amusement, like a cat batting around a trapped mouse while deciding if it's hungry. And what did she mean about Olive? It made no sense. Olive paper is like the sun. Beautiful to look on, dangerous to stare at, and utterly out of reach. I can't imagine a world where she'd want to kiss me, or where I'd even want her to. Be like kissing my sister. I don't think I can sleep, but then I wake with a start and realise I must have drifted off. Someone is pounding on my door. Darren Bales, get up this instant! Selin is shouting. I'm moving before I realise it, vaulting out of bed and running a hand through my hair. I grab my shirt, throwing it over my head as I reach for the door, wondering what I've done wrong. Selin looks stricken, but it's her scent that jolts me. A sour stink of fear so intense it wafts from her like a skunk spray. What's happened? I reach for her arm. No hesitation now as I squeeze. Tears well in her eyes and she throws her arms around me. Olive and Mika are missing. I keep my arms around her as I pull back to meet her eyes.
How?
When?
We just saw them.
Selin puts her hands against my chest and gently pushes me away. Don't know. Messenger just arrived from the Duchess's keep. Daz on his way over. Says if we're coming, it needs to be now. In the time it takes Selin to draw her next breath, I rush across the room to snatch up my satchel and return to the door, pushing into the hall. Let's go.
Don't you need your boots?
Selin asks. I shake my head. All they do is slow me down.
Lord Arthur, before Mother left, I borrowed her Alagai Hora for a casting of my own. The dice tell me I need to be with her, that she needs me, and I cannot ignore it. I know you, everyone, will try to stop me, and so I must go alone. I'm sorry for the trouble this will cause. With regret, Olive Paper.
Lord Arthur, First Minister of Hollow, is a former cavalryman. He remains fit for the saddle, but his demeanour is more boring than threatening, despite the military decorations hanging below his spear on the wall behind his desk. I can smell fresh oil on the blade. The minister's usually dull eyes are sharp as he watches us read Olive's letter. His breathing is slow and steady, and he stinks of suspicion. General Garrod, who already read it, looks down at us with similarly mistrustful eyes. I ignore them, bringing the letter to my nose for a sniff. Olive's scent still clings to the paper. I can smell the precise spots where her fingers touched. The ink of the signature is fresher than the rest, but folk often read a letter over a few times before signing.
This is Olive's handwriting, Arthur says.
It's not a question. I glance at his desk and see sheets written in similar hand, used for comparison.
Aye,
Selin agrees, but it doesn't make sense. Olive can't predict her next trip to the privy with the dice, much less convince herself to run off. And when does Leisha ever put her dice down long enough to borrow? Arthur manages to keep his voice calm, but there is tension in his muscles and impatience in his scent.
Selin, if you know anything, if you helped her,
didn't.
Selin shoves the paper back at him.
And Olive didn't write this.
Arthur is unconvinced.
Some of the wall guards were drugged with a sleeping draught, much like the one Captain Wonder described.
Selin shakes her head.
No coarse-born way Olive would run off without telling me.
In that, we agree,
Arthur says carefully.
Finding Princess Olive is paramount. If you can help, you won't be punished.
I don't say that,
General Garrick growls.
I find out you helped her run off. Gonna be the core to pay.
Selin's scent is fearful at the words. Hurt. But her sudden anger overpowers the other smells.
I didn't rip and help her. And she didn't run off. She ain't like that. Not like that,
the general roars.
Two of you pulled this same ripping trick not 3 weeks ago.
Aye,
Selin agrees.
Together. Now, it was my idea. This is different. Olive isn't impulsive.
The general frowns.
Get that you're trying to take the switch for your friend, Sel, but I ain't such a fool as to fall for it twice.
He turns to Arthur.
Mika's gone too. Means she's already on the trail. She'll keep Olive out of trouble while we send some cutters to fetch her home.
I catch a faint whiff of blood in the air. Could be anything. Folk bleed all the time for all sorts of reasons. But there's call to be suspicious. The others are too busy arguing to notice me slip away. I pad softly around the room, sniffing. There's a strange odour, something I've never smelled before. It's strongest on one section of the carpet, and I squat down to run my fingers over the heavy pile. They come away gritty, with a faint powder that seems to absorb and mute other scents. At a glance, the carpet appears clean. But as I brush my hand through the wool, there is a faint stain of red below the surface. I pinch it and sniff my fingers. Definitely blood. Now that I have the scent and a starting point, it's easy enough to follow. The floor has been wiped clean, but while that might fool the others, it's another sign to me. Would Arthur pause to have his office cleaned? His spear polished with fresh oil? If the first thing he found on his desk in the morning was Olive's note? The trail leads to the window, and I open it, throwing a leg over the sill.
Hey! Darren!
The general shouts.
What in the core you think you're doing?
I ignore him, slipping out of the window and catching the lintel to pull myself up. Talk is meaningless. I have the spore. I follow the faint trail to the roof, then along the sloping tiles to the familiar eaves above the Duchess's gardens. I'm stronger in the shadowy nook, leaping down to the windowsill across the way, like I did to win a bet years ago. I jump back to bounce off my momentum on the first wall before sucking in for the final drop. A shock runs up my legs at the impact, but my bones are harder when I suck in, my skin like leather. I'm unhurt as I begin searching for the trail. Olive might be strong enough to make that descent, but I can't imagine her attempting it. Selin is right. Olive isn't that impulsive. She might have used a rope, but if so, there is no sign. I pick up the smell of blood, faint amid the fragrant herbs, and follow it through the garden. Here and there I find bruises on grass or plants that would have been imperceptible to others, patterns where soil has been swept, and smooth to hide passage. I find a hidden exit in the rose bushes and track the blood smell to the stables. If Olive was attempting to go after her mother, it follows she would need a horse. Stable hands stare at me as I sniff around the stalls, but even the wood reeks of urine and droppings and dried mud. I lose the scent entirely, forced to exit the stables and circle outward, hoping to pick it back up. I'm about to give up when I find the spore again on the ground near the keep wall. I can smell Olive's perfume clearly. She was not the one bleeding. Someone was with her. A Krasian. Mika? Did they rest here briefly or hide to avoid detection? After that, the trail vanishes. Either they mounted, and there's no sign they did, or they scaled the wall. I climb to the top,
but it is windy, and if there was a trail, it's blown away. Selen glares at me as I return to Lord Arthur's office, this time through the door. I tell them what I found, but all three remain sceptical.
You followed her scent? The general asks, dubiously.
Like a hound. Straight up a wall, along a roof, and back down through a herb garden.
Arthur adds.
Impossible.
I walk over to the minister, pointedly inhaling through my nose. You ain't had breakfast yet? Arthur frowns.
Well, that doesn't prove.
You brushed your teeth with minted paste when you woke, I cut in. But it doesn't change your breath as much as you think. You had pheasant last night, with herb-crusted potatoes, and leek soup. There was blackberry jelly for the pheasant on the table, but you didn't use any. Arthur's face has gone slack.
How can you?
I point to his wrist. Must have got a bit on the cuff of your jacket when you reached across the table. Arthur lifts his sleeve, eyes widening as he notices the stain. He purses his lips.
This proves nothing if the two of you are protecting Olive. I know the three of you well enough to trust that if she asked you to hold her secrets, you would.
Corspawn it, Selen growls. Something's happened to her. And you've got your head too far up. Why, that's enough.
The general barks.
Ain't got anything useful to share? You can keep quiet.
Selen looks as if she's been slapped as he turns to the First Minister.
No one saw him leave, so Darren's story is as good as anything. Doesn't change what we need to do. I'll gather some cutters and go after them.
I want to come,
Selen says, but her father's scoff denies her without a word. I step forward.
I can track. You can stay put is what you can do,
the general tells me.
Promised your mum I'd keep you safe. Bad enough Olive's missing. Won't add you to the tally.
Selen balls a fist, her scent fierce and angry. Before she can open her mouth, I lay a hand over her fist, squeezing gently.
Aye. All right.
Selen whirls on me, but I only squeeze tighter. We're just worried about Olive is all. Won't get underfoot. The general blinks.
Never had an argument with your dad go so easy.
I shrug, pretending the words don't sting. Aye, well. And my dad.
Why did you give in?
Selen demands the moment we're alone in the underkeep. Her scent is sharp, angry, and I don't understand why.
Because we don't need 1,000 cutters trampling the trail, I say. We need to follow it now while it's fresh.
Confusion mixes with the anger smell.
I thought you lost it.
I shrug. Lost it on top of the wall. Reckon I can pick it back up on the other side. If I head out now, can you steal some food from the pantry and meet me outside the wall? Selen stares for a moment, then throws her arms around me, crushing so tight I instinctively start to turn slippery.
No, you don't.
Selen hugs tighter, keeping me from melting in her arms. Thank you, Darren. You didn't have to. Of course I did. Now I do melt, slipping away to solidify 2 steps back.
And a coward.
No matter what folks say, Olive needs us. Selen puts up her hands. You're right. I'm sorry. The words, her doubt still stings, but now ain't the time to debate it. Outside the wall, quick as a rabbit.
Aye,
Selen nods. Get some other things too. Clothes, matches, a tent. Don't weigh us down, I say. This is a race, and they've got the lead. Food, your cloak, and a spear. Selen meets me outside the walls, dressed much as the stories of her adventure with Olive describe, in a borrowed wooden helm and cuirass, carved with wards, and the crossed axe and machete of Baron Cutter's house.
The armour is lacquered and polished smooth, still smelling of whatever a soldier wore at last. A round shield is stripped to her back, along with a short, wooded spear. I can smell bread and meat and cheese in her pack and gold in her purse. She walks my way casually, amusement in her scent. She thinks I won't recognise her.
Took you long enough,
I say when she draws close.
Of course, born it, Darren.
Selin growls, pulling off the helm.
Needed a disguise to slip away, picked the smelliest breastplate I could find, and walked right past Daz guards. How'd you know it was me?
I shrug. Where you walk, your eyes, beat of your heart, and I can still smell you under all the sweat. Selin blinks.
And Shuara, take that, Darren.
Like flowers in an outhouse, I say. Selin rolls her eyes.
I guess that means you're up to this.
I nod.
Found something.
I did too. Selin reaches into her pack, producing Olive's warded cloak.
And to chance in the corps, Olive ran off after her mum without this.
I take her along the wall to a place where some low trees give cover to a spot not far from where I lost the trail on the wall above. Horses were waiting here last night. Selin looks around, brow tightening. Droppings have been cleaned, I say. Hoofprints brushed away, but I can smell them. She looks at me, doubt leaking into her scent.
If you say so.
There are four of them, I say. So, Olive wasn't alone, Selin says.
You're saying someone took her?
I don't like guesses. They feel like a promise you ain't sure you can keep. I prefer to trust my senses.
Saying there were four horses here, and they all rode off with Olive and Mika.
Can you follow them through town? Selin asks. I blow out a breath, thinking of the 1,000 ways to lose a trail in a busy town with cobbled streets. 1,000 stinks cover those stones, no matter how often it rains. I honestly don't think I can do it. But if Olive's in trouble, she's depending on us. So I look at Selin and make a promise I ain't sure I can keep.
Yes,